Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Mile High Hoops with Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops podcast. I'm your host, Zach Bye. As always, I appreciate you coming by and spending some time with me here. Just want to serve up a couple thoughts in relation to last night's 119-101 victory for the Denver Nuggets over the Oklahoma City Thunder. At the time of recording, it is Wednesday afternoon. Happy hump day. Inauguration day. So definitely a lot of stuff going on. But I just wanted to serve up just a couple thoughts after watching the game last night. And, you know, it was a game that it felt like the Nuggets had to have it. And I don't want to, like, overstate it entirely because it is game 14, right? But at the same time, it was one of these, you know, games coming off a loss where, you know, the Nuggets lost a fantastic basketball game to the Jazz earlier in the week, 109-105, you know, one of those 50-50 games that, you know, they could have had, and there's been too many like that this season, and that's what, you know, part of the, you know, predicament here early, these games that they could have had that they didn't. You know, you look back at night number one against the Kings, and, you know, the way that they lost that game, the way that they lost against the Mavericks about 2 weeks ago, the way that they lost against the Nets and blowing that massive third quarter lead, were they up 18 or whatever it was? We discussed that, I believe, with TJ McBride last week. Appreciate him coming on. But anyway, back to the Thunder game. Like, it was one of these games that they had to have. They have really dominated Oklahoma City when these two teams play in Denver. And you saw more of that last night. No Al Horford for the Thunder. And it was a game where Nikola Jokic just absolutely had his way. Just absolutely had his way. And it almost feels like we're getting to the point, and this is a good thing, but from a talking about it perspective, like, we are, I think, running out of ways so early in the season to explain just how good Nikola Jokic has been. I feel like I've said this already 15 times on this Mile High Hoops podcast, in under 15 games played at the time of recording, that Nikola Jokic is playing at a bona fide MVP level. Bona fide MVP level. And last night was another awesome example of him being aggressive. The way that a lot of Nuggets fans, myself included, and we talked about this a little bit last week with TJ, the level of assertion and aggressiveness is like checkmarked in Sharpie. He is just, and last night was a great example. He took 21 shots, and I think that can be Nikola every single night. Now, is he going to lead the league in assists in doing that? You know, maybe not, but that's kind of beside the point. He can do that, but I think he's so valuable to this basketball team when he's just taking the bull by the horns, and, you know, like, he's playing, his actions are an acknowledgement that the light bulb has gone off in his head that no one can hold him. And he was brilliant, man. He was flat out brilliant. He shot 12 for 21 from the floor. Didn't make a three. Didn't get to the line too often, right? But he just shot three free throws. But you're seeing him just absolutely dominate the game. And, like, last night was a similar reflection of him on the season and just how efficient he was. 12 of 21. He, like, on the season, he's shooting over 57%, guys. It's masterful. We are seeing a masterclass in basketball from Nikola Jokic, and he finishes with 27 points and 12 rebounds in just 28 minutes. I don't think he played a second in the fourth quarter. They were up in such a big way. In fact, the final score of the Nuggets winning by 18, which is a romp, is not even reflective of how lopsided it was. I mean, they were up like 27 at one point. And, you know, the reserves down the back stretch of the game that don't often get to play didn't play too well. I mean, there were some awesome moments. But there was, you know, the backstretch of the last 4 minutes, disjointed offense and guys just kind of going in business for themselves. So, regardless, 18-point victory, awesome. Nuggets back to 500 and now trying to get over the hump of being over 500. They're nearly back into the Western Conference playoff picture after, you know, really, the worst start to the season that they've had in years. So, but it felt like last night was another one of these sigh of relief games for Denver. That it's like, okay, like things, you know, maybe things are going to be okay. And there's been some maybe doubt, you know, creeping in the first portion of this season. And rightfully so. It hasn't looked good enough. But Nicola, you know, I think the theme of the season so far is, you know, the wins not matching that MVP caliber of play from the face of the franchise. And last night they were able to match those two things up, the masterful performance with a W. So back to 7-7, awesome, great job from Nicola. You know, Jamal Murray, guys, continues to be, you know, I don't want to say an enigma, but it's just more of the same. And talked about it last week, talked about it the week before that. You know, for Jamal to have 5 points in an NBA game with as talented as he is, it just doesn't make sense. And a lot of this narrative, it's just not going anywhere. When you continue to validate the narrative, and it's not even a narrative, it's just the truth. Like, it's just the reality of the roller coaster of Jamal, where the last two games are like a really good microcosm for this conversation, because he can give you 30 and follow it up with 5, right? Like, this is just more of the same. And, you know, the Nuggets are lucky that that they had so much support in the game against Oklahoma City that it's not glaring the way that it has been earlier in the season, in these moments earlier in the season, where, you know, even the game against Brooklyn, it's like, okay, yeah, you finished with 20 points. Not concerned about the point total. I'm concerned about the impact. And it's, you know, 5 points for Jamal. I mean, we're hoping this guy is going to be an all-star this year based off, you know, the springboard of the bubble, and we're just not seeing it. We're just not seeing it. Give you 30, follow it up with 5. So that just is going to be a conversation until it's not. And only he is in control of it. And I can't really, you know, I can't really put my finger on it. You know, I've seen a bunch of similar moments here where Jamal will make a move or come off a screen or, you know, have a spin or a cross, and he just is not rising up in that moment and making the play. And in fact, I've seen a bunch where he just makes it hard on himself, where he gets the separation that's needed to rise up, or needed to just make the move to the basket, and he doesn't. And sometimes will make, you know, actually rise up to shoot it or make the move at the basket a half second after that. And I don't want to boil it down to confidence and say just he doesn't have confidence right now, because I've seen other moments where he plays with a bunch of confidence, but he's not maximizing those windows where it seems like he's thinking. Maybe that's what I can reduce it down to. He's thinking. And when you're thinking, you're not moving at your natural pace of just playing. Like you saw last year in the bubble, there was no thinking, right? It was just so natural, so aggressive. It's like he's just out there hooping. And I haven't seen enough of those vibes so far. And last night was a great example of it. Just 5 points. He was just a +2. You know, in that starting lineup in a game where, you know, when he left the game, like you're up 27 and you only outscore your opposition by 2 points when you're on the floor. So it's really glaring, especially when the rest of the starters are +21, +15, +12, +20, and you're a +2. So definitely something that we're going to keep our eye on for sure. And cool note on the broadcast last night. I had no idea. And I was watching the Altitude broadcast last night, and I go back and forth, you know, with an alternate feed in watching the way that I have to watch it because I am a Comcast customer. I'm still just a disaster of a situation I'm not even going to get into because I end up getting frustrated with it, as I know that so many other Nuggets fans are. But on the broadcast, cool note that they pointed out that five different Canadian-born players right now in the league are averaging 15 or more. Really cool. I did not realize that. And I suppose if I sat down and really went through it, you know, I could have stumbled upon it. But, man, that is awesome, isn't it? Like, this game, and I've talked about this in years past, it's become so global. And Canada had not been a country to traditionally that pumps out, you know, NBA players. And, you know, Steve Nash really was a, you know, flag bearer there. And I think you're maybe seeing the dividends of that success in the following generation, where you got these guys where, you know, Chris Boucher, who, you know, played at Oregon, he's in his third year. He's averaging 16 right now at the time of recording. You got Jamal, of course. You got R.J. Barrett there in New York. You have Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, which was the reason that they were, you know, showing that that graphic up on the screen there. So you have Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. And who was the other one? It was Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins. So really cool, and I just wanted to, you know, bring light to that. And Gilgeous-Alexander's averaging over 20. Really cool. I just, you know, wanted to take a moment and shout out, you know, Canadian basketball, because it has come such a long way in the last two decades, and that graphic was proof positive of that. Gary Harris. Hey, man, we talked about this last week with TJ, a possible offensive resurgence, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because at one point this guy, as we've, you know, redundantly talked about, was averaging 17 and a half points, and now as he's, you know, 26, he's averaging, you know, nearly half that. But here in the last, how long has it been? Maybe two and a half weeks, maybe, you know, 20 days or so. You are seeing a better version of him offensively. And, you know what you're going to get defensively from Gary. But for him to, again, make, you know, multiple threes, there was a stretch there. Like, think about the way that he started. I'm just looking at his game log here. This is Gary Harris from three in the first, I think it's eight games of the season. We'll see here. It's 0-for-4. This is at the start of the season, starting with Sacramento. 0-for-4, 0-for-2, 2-for-6, 1-for-5. All right, then it's 0-for-3, 0-for-4, 0-for-1, 1-for-4. So those are his first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games of the season. Just dreadful. Just dreadful. Again, 0-for-4, 0-for-2, 2-for-6, 1-for-5, 0-for-3, 0-for-4, 0-for-1, 1-for-4. Just really, really, really bad. Now look at the last five games. Or excuse me, four games. 5-for-8, 2-for-4, 2-for-7, 3-for-6. Market improvement. Market improvement. Where it's multiple threes in four games straight and a combined, let's see, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 12 threes in the last four games. And shooting 50% from three last night was awesome. 50% against the Knicks, two games back, over 60% against the Sixers, just five games back. So really, really encouraging. Now, I am, you know, really isolating just, you know, the last four games. And you could say, hey, it's just four games. But think about how bad it's been. So for him to make 12 threes in the last four games, I think that is a miniature big deal for Gary. And, man, there was just, you can see the, there's not really hesitation. And how about the pass from, and if you watch this game, it'll stick out for you. The pass from Jokic from underneath the hoop to Gary deep in the left corner. First of all, the pass was just stupid. What was the movie? I forget when they were like shoot the guns and like bend the bullet. I never even saw the movie, but I remember how cool it looked on the preview. It was like bending the bullet. Jokic like bent the ball, like bend it like Beckham, like during the air, or while it was in the air. Just absurd. But Chris Marlowe on the broadcast, he's like, oh, you got to make that one. And Gary did. And I'm just encouraged. I'm not going to overreact to it, but I did want to isolate it and give Gary some credit there. How about the stat also? I mentioned the five Canadian graphic on the broadcast. How about the stat that they isolated there? That when the Nuggets score 110 points or more since last All-Star break, are 21-9. I think that's significant, and that's that is a real trend that we got to continue to have our eye on. When the Nuggets score 110 or more, 21-9. That is not by accident. That is not by accident. Got a shout out, Paul Millsap, a double double from Paul Millsap against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Haven't seen too many of those, and I think I have it in my notes here. Yeah, Millsap, double-figure rebounds for the first time in 40 games. Wow, that is awesome. Good for Millsap, who had 13 points, had 12 rebounds. Four of them were offensive. He had also had three assists and two steals to go with a block, just turned it over one time. He was a plus 21 when he was out there on the floor. No other Nugget starter had a higher plus minus, and only Monty Morris had a better plus minus on the game by just a point. Monty was a plus 22. Man, he played well, didn't he? That was fun to watch. 15 points. Monty's been great. Monty's been great. So shout out both of those guys, Millsap and Monty Morris. And how about just the bench collectively? You know, starting with Morris and right on down, the bench was great. That second quarter, and Jokic said after the game that they won the game. He said the bench won the game for us tonight. So often the starters this season have put the Nuggets in a great spot and the bench hasn't been able to hold up their end of the bargain, and that was not the case last night. The bench played just so well. You had PJ Dozier in double figures. I mentioned Monty in double figures. How about Hartenstein was a plus 17 when he was out there. JaMychal Green with 10 points. So just all around a really encouraging sign. And look, you know, Oklahoma is not some world-beaten team. And I'm actually like, I couldn't believe they came into the game with a 5-1 record on the road. And I was looking at the Nuggets' home record, and I'm like, oh, man, is this setting up for another disappointment and the Nuggets fall further under 500? But that wasn't the case, and the bench was a huge reason why. God, Campazzo's fun to watch, isn't he? I mean, that dude, you talk about like playing with fire in your belly. Now, I know he didn't, you know, light it up. He made the 1-3 and struggled from the field, but he is just a firecracker. And the between-the-legs pass to Monty in transition was just, you know, maybe the moment of the night. You know, he just plays with, you know, such fervor, and that play was awesome. And then Bol Bol, how about I got to give Bol Bol a shout out down the stretch that he got some minutes in the blowout, and him going coast to coast and just cupping that thing, no offhand needed, and just throwing it down. Gosh, I forget who I saw on Twitter said that he was so high the ball didn't even get into the shot of the screen, and it was a pretty cool photo. So shout out Campazzo and Bol Bol. And it was a nice win. It was a take a deep breath win against Oklahoma City. Who? Oh, and by the way, how about the stat? And I knew it was a lot, but I didn't quite realize it until they said it. The amount of first round picks in the next 7 years for Oklahoma City, 18 first round picks in the next 7 years. And how about them on the broadcast? And this is not the first time, but I wanted to bring attention to it. Them like on the broadcast throwing out the live in-game over-unders, point totals. Like, man, we have stepped into the future, have we not? And stuff like that is not going away, by the way. So that was, you know, I like to wager on the games. And by the way, had the Nuggets minus the 10. Just thought it was going to be a big night in a game that they had to have. You know, I saw George Karl tweet during the day, like, this is a must-win game. And it sounds, you know, like, again, like, you know, the way we started the pod, like, a, an overreaction, because how can game 14 be a must-win? But God, it felt like that, didn't it? It really did. All right, hopefully here in the next handful of days, the Nuggets get Michael Porter Jr. back and you start to reintegrate him. And it's a tough stretch here as they go on the road, step outside of Denver, back-to-back in Phoenix on Friday and Saturday. Friday night will be on ESPN, followed by a game on Monday against Dallas. Then they're at Miami and at San Antonio. So five consecutive games on the road. That is going to be the longest stretch here of the season. So, all right, that's all I got for now, guys. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Thank you so much for stopping by here on the Mile High Hoops podcast. And whatever happens over the weekend against Phoenix and then on Monday against Dallas, you know that we'll be talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Oh, hey, didn't realize you were listening. Well, let's make this quick. And don't touch that dial. We're Rocky Mountain Forest Products, and we're not aggressive. We're passionate. And we're not going to blast you with facts you don't need. But when you do, visit rmfp.com. Whether you're in need of fencing, decking, or siding information, it's all there. And best of all, it's free. No one likes a salesman, so we're not going to sell you. Whether you need the info or not, just remember rmfp.com. You do you, Colorado. You do you.